Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Alicia Perkins. She is an author, she is a writer, she's a speaker, she's a mom, she's a wife, she is a very busy woman, and we are thrilled that she took the time to call in today about a great event coming up. The Books You Met, the Beer Stubes February event is going to be on Thursday, February 20th, and we want to hear all about what is coming up with Alicia. Great to have you on our show today. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for calling in today. So first of all, Alicia, the Bookstube at the Beer Stube event, before we went on, you said you haven't been there yet, but boy, it is such a great event for this whole genre of mystery thriller kind of stories. And yours in particular, I think, will resonate with a lot of people. I'm anxious for the public to get a chance to hear about your story. But first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, yes, Alicia Perkins. I am a mom to two girls, 13 and 11, and I guess most significantly, a wife to Glenn Perkins, former Minnesota Twins pitcher. So actually, this is all kind of new to me, the writing. You know, for a long time in our family, we made the choice for me to stay home with the kids so that he could play baseball, we could travel with him, and, you know, kind of let him live out his dream. And then since he's retired, it was my turn. So, so I got some time to finally have enough spare time, I guess, with him helping out with the kids to sit down and put pen to paper and kind of let my creativity go a little bit.
Did you know that that was something you always wanted to do?
No, I it's actually kind of an odd story. I wrote my first book, which is actually nonfiction, called Running Home, and it was kind of about my struggles with anxiety in the public eye a little bit, and just kind of trying to break the stigma surrounding mental illness and just kind of tell my tale of the different ways I dealt with it, and eventually how much exercising, particularly running, played in my, I guess, dealing with it process. But so I actually wrote that book as kind of a catharsis that my therapist recommended. And after I got done with it, it just like flowed out, and it like felt like such a release. And Glenn actually read it and was like, you should publish this. I think this would be helpful for people.
So you weren't even going to publish it? You just did it almost as like a diary? What the heck?
I just wrote it to like get the story out, because she's like, it would probably be really good for you to just to like journal it all down.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I know.
That's not how it works, you know, for most people.
I know. So then
wow.
I did self-publish, and it did pretty well, and I got a great bunch of great feedback. And then I actually had a friend of mine recommend the book On Writing by Stephen King. And for those who haven't read it, it's like half of his autobiography and half of how he writes. And, of course, I mean, there's not many better than Stephen King. So
right.
He said in there that he doesn't have a plot. He just takes a character and puts him in a situation and lets his mind go. And I thought, what an interesting exercise. So I tried it. And so many months later, I actually had my first manuscript. Actually, Martyred is my second manuscript. I'm still trying to get the courage up to publish the first one. It's a little bit more polarizing, I think, than Martyred.
Is it the same genre, though, the thriller category?
You know, No, I would say it's more like family saga, romance, women's lit, I guess. I mean, there are definitely a lot of twists and turns, but, you know, there's not any sort of, like, murder or deep dark. Well, I guess it depends on what you consider thriller, right? I mean, it's a little bit twisty, let's say that.
Oh, very exciting. Well, we look forward to hearing more about that. Well, let's get to the book Martyred, because it is wonderful. And before we went on the air, I mentioned that I couldn't have been happier reading your book.
Aww.
It was, and I pretended that it was, you know, I was doing homework.
Sure.
It was a perfect way to sneak away and not have anyone bother me while I just turned those pages. It's a wonderful book. And you are actually going to be in Hastings at the Bookstube at the Beer Stube event, which is going to be on Thursday, February 20th. Come for dinner on your own at 5:30 p.m. And then you are going to give a presentation around 6:30.
Yep.
Well, that will be really fun for people. And I know you'll have copies of your book there, I would assume.
I will, yep.
Wonderful. Sure. So let's get back to how you did your writing. So did you pick out one of these characters? Because the book has obviously more than one character in it. Did you pick out one of them? Did you do the Stephen King thing?
I did. I totally do. You know, you hear from so many different writers that there's a million different ways to write a book. You know, there's some that are very matter-of-fact and they sit down and they write an outline and they write, you know, chapter by chapter.
Yes.
And they, you know, have a certain amount of time they write every day, and which is all well and good. But obviously with two kids and chaos at our house, it's not that simple for me. So, you know, creatively for me, his approach definitely did work. And, you know, The Martyred, it has three characters, three main characters, a trio of women who have been friends since childhood, some since college. And the main, I guess the book starts with the character Eliza. And, so she's the one I started with. And then I had actually just recently, at that time, read Crazy Rich Asians. And I didn't enjoy the book as much as I had hoped. I loved the character switching between each chapter, so I wanted to give that a shot, and that's kind of how the other two characters were developed.
You know, I liked that because it was easy for me to stay on track reading it.
Yeah, and they all have very different personalities, and so, you know, the thing I wanted to try to do, which was difficult at times, but actually also kind of nice, was be able to keep the story continuous through the three different perspectives.
Yep.
But be able to have each chapter have a voice of, you know, a certain character, which was kind of fun to be able to like change characters in your head but keep the story the same.
I bet it was. So did you have the end in sight?
Did not.
Okay.
It happened about halfway through. So, you know, it's actually funny, the very first manuscript too, I didn't know how it was going to end. And I'm actually co-writing a book with another author right now, and I don't know how that one's going to end either. But I kind of like that. There's a lot of freedom in that. I understand where a lot of people, that would be really stressful, but I actually find it really freeing to not have to fit into a narrative, and so far it seems to be working.
Well, you know, it's okay. Certainly working for you, because I know a lot of people, that isn't how they write.
Yep.
You know, they look at the end and then they go back from that. And I'm just fascinated by writers and how they get their inspiration and how they actually can put it on the page. So we'd be interested in reading it. But wow, it turned out great.
I'm fascinated by them too. I mean, truthfully, like, I don't even consider myself really it's hard to say the word writer. I mean, I know I have written books, but, you know, the greats, I mean, everybody has such a different way to go about it. And it's just fascinating how what works for one person totally does not jive for another, but yet somehow the books are all still, you know, good.
Well, this book I know is obviously female dominated. Is this an inspiration for your girls? Tell me about your two girls.
You know, it actually kind of started out of, you know, post Me Too movement. You know, I'm fortunate enough that I haven't been in a situation like that, you know, where it's really deep and dark and painful. But, you know, I mean, I think as women, we all fall victim to, you know, some sort of misogyny at some point in our lives, whether it's just a cat call as you're walking down the street or something, you know, much deeper. But so I think after, you know, that kind of started happening, I kind of had a moment where I realized, you don't have to be a victim to be outraged. And so that's kind of actually where the book stemmed from, because I myself, like I said, I'm blessed that I don't have a you know, a dark tale to tell. But I wanted to empower, you know, women in general to just obviously keep the forward progress and find strength in ourselves and together, because female relationships are so unique. In the book, I talk about, the love between two of the characters, and I feel that with some of my girlfriends, mm-hmm. and it's a different kind of love than you feel with your spouse or your kids, but the bond between two women is a really strong one.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit more about what you were like as a kid.
Oh man, I was always a very creative kid, so I guess this shouldn't come as a full surprise to me. A lot of imagination, a lot of imaginary world. I remember I used to pretend my bike was a horse. And I would, you know, hit the side of it and try to go faster and pretend I was racing. So, I mean, I guess the imagination's always been there. But, yeah, I was a pretty happy kid, easy kid. I mean, I guess I my mom and dad might say differently, but raised with two brothers. So I guess, you know, I always kind of wanted a sister and always been very inspired and motivated by the bond between women and the bond between, you know, sisters. And so it's a powerful thing. And the older I get, the more I realize how important those relationships really are, how much we lean on each other. You know, one of my best friends, actually, we met because we were partnered together for a podcast about mental and physical health. And we always joke around, like, finding somebody with the same mental illness as you that can talk about it with you is, like, the greatest thing that's ever happened, because women are open, you know, more open typically than men. And, you know, they're a lot more expressive and willing to express not only difficulties, but the love, too. And so she fills the void for me that, you know, my husband might not be able to, you know, and so that's kind of, I feel like there's a lot of women who have that, hopefully have that in their lives, because it's so important.
Well, it is important. And I know that is one of the things that you're interested in doing, and that is taking away the stigma of mental illness, anxiety, depression, and really talking about it openly. And you've actually done a TED Talk. Tell us about that.
I have. It was one of the scariest, some of the scariest 9 minutes of my life. But yeah, so they were holding a TEDx speaking event in Blaine, and they had, I think, like 100 speakers apply, and you had to pitch your concept. I was unbelievably honored to be one of the 8 chosen. And so my talk was about, I guess the theme was, how many celebrities does it take to change a stigma? And it kind of surrounded the idea of, more and more each year, I mean, luckily, people are coming forward, people with big platforms who can be the catalyst for change among the youth in our generation, or in this generation, who are struggling even more so than we did. And I think it's just really important that people hear that they're not alone, that this is common, that we can talk about it, that it's nothing to be ashamed of, that it's no different than having diabetes or breaking your arm. I mean, you would never be embarrassed to tell a doctor you fell and broke your arm because you couldn't catch yourself while snowboarding. You
right.
know what I mean? But yet somehow, when it comes to mental issues, it's still the same thing. It's still your body's wiring. It's still something's off, but yet we're afraid to talk about it. And so I just hope, like, again, you mentioned my daughters. I hope for the next generation that it's as commonplace as talking about anything else we have. You know, I mean, we don't shame people for having cancer. So
no.
I don't understand why there's still this shame surrounding something else that is beyond our control and should be. You don't have to live like that, but you will until you say it out loud and come to terms with it and reckon it and deal with it. And so, you know, being able to talk about it openly is the first step. And that was kind of what the TED Talk was about.
And with a TED Talk, you can't have notes, right? You have
no,
to. Good gravy. How did you talk for 9 minutes?
Oh, my God. I will tell you that what I actually did, so anybody out there who ever has to give a speech that you can't, you have to memorize, I recorded it. So I voice recorded it on my phone. And then I would go for walks, like 2-mile walks, and listen to it and say it along with it on repeat. Because, and it got to the point where it was totally 100% memorized by the time that I obviously stood up and said it. But you'd be surprised at how long 10 minutes feels like when you have no notes to go off of.
Ugh.
And you got to remember the cadence. And you have to give it to the panel, the TEDx panel. Ours was like 2 days before. And then they like approve it and like tell you if there should be it. Well, there was several before that. But like the final one has to be approved. And so, I mean, it's, you know, delineate from that. They're not going to be thrilled.
Oh, my gosh. Well, congrats to you. That is really cool. So let's get back to Martyred, please. So the 3 friends in this, such loyal friends, right? The way the book ends, I sort of was sad. I wanted to spend more time with them and learn more about them. And I think you kind of left the door open for that, maybe?
I did. You know, I flirted with that. I actually started writing a follow-up, and then I just wasn't in the space for it. You know, I've heard a lot of people say that, actually, who have read it, that they fell in love with the characters and they want more. And, you know, it's a tough one for me because I feel like it would have to come right away after finishing that book. And, You know, let's say never say never. I have ideas.
Good.
I don't know if it'll manifest itself yet.
Because all of these women are young, they're going to have full lives. And
oh, for sure.
How is this all going to come together again sometime in their life? I think we need to know.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely been discussed. And
excellent.
I have ideas for sure on how I would actually love, in an ideal world, I'd love to do a trilogy that follows, like one based on each character. And I have an idea kind of like what the main theme would be, I guess, not necessarily like plot or ending, but kind of where that character would go, I guess. And so, I don't know. We'll see. I got to be motivated right now. I don't know if it's this winter or what, but motivation is lacking.
How do you write, Alicia? Do you sneak away somewhere? Do you go to a coffee shop? Is there a place in your house? Can you have the radio and TV on? I mean, what's it like for you?
Yeah, you know, I wish that maybe if I found a more like constant place, it would be easier. It's all over the map. Sometimes it's coffee shops. Sometimes it's in my house. It's usually always when my kids are at school. I'm blessed that I get to be home with them. So when they are home, I like to be as present as possible. But yeah, it's usually during the school day, and it's kind of wherever I wind up that day. Usually not at my house because I'll get distracted with like 17 other things I should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So usually, yeah, a lot of Starbucks, a lot of local coffee shops.
Well, we'll try not to bother you when we see you out and about.
No, it's okay. Please do. I probably am like looking for a reason to take a break. So
we're just so happy that you called in today, and we know you have lots of things going on, so we want to especially say thanks for coming to the Bookstube at the Beer Stube event. It is going to be on Thursday, February 20th. Dinner is on your own. Come at 5:30, and then Alicia will be doing a presentation around 6:30. And can I tell you, Alicia, if you're going to go to the Beer Stube, get their cheese curds. They're so darn good.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. I love a good cheese.
You're going to love these.
Do they rival the state fair?
Come on. They're so much better. Yeah,
oh,
but
wow. That's a tall order. All right. I'm going to have to test it out.
You are going to have to test it out. The book is called Martyred. And Alicia, where can we find this book, please?
You can get it. I mean, local Barnes & Nobles, I'll have them in most of Minnesota still, and, you know, anywhere books are sold online.
The book is called Martyred, and our guest today is Alicia Perkins. Thanks so much for calling in, and you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.